When you look at the global picture, we have seen supplies improve. We've seen demand down. This thing has changed fairly substantially. Looking at the urea markets, of course, you know, back when we talked 5 months ago this summer, we had a situation where European production looked like it would never turn back on. You know, natural gas prices were so high priced, and, you know, Chinese exports were almost non-existent. There are still questions about Russia exports. There's a lot of questions. Well, since that time, Russian exports have been solid. Chinese exports are picking up. European production has improved because their natural gas price has gone from $100 an MMBTU down to $30, $40 a ton range. The market has fundamentally shifted. Not only that, we see global demand also making decisions as well. We see farmers that have been pulling back on their decisions for nitrogen because of the high price. That's helped alleviate some of the price. Phosphate and potash. This fall run does not so far look like it's been a phenomenal run. We think the farmers are making a decision. I can wait another year. I can mine the soil again. Demand has been down there. So as the market always does, high prices cure high prices. Supplies have been coming back. Demand has been down. Prices have been down for those three, phosphate, potash, and urea, have been down almost constantly since late March, early April.
Have we reached the point where the price is low enough that guys are going to start stocking up?
I don't think anybody wants to stock up just yet. Now, we've got the prepay period coming up here very shortly, you know, just the same as in Canada as it is in the U.S. By the time we get to the end of December, right after Christmas, there's going to be some money that needs to be spent, because as much as we hate high-priced fertilizer, we hate taxes even more. But it's one of those situations where it sure feels as though some of these values are actually getting low enough on fertilizer and the grain prices are holding, that those ratios are actually getting rather attractive. They're not as good as what we've seen the last 5 years, but they are definitely in the mix. I think that demand is going to be a little sketchier just because I think everybody's seen prices that have been falling and nobody wants to step in front of that trend. But eventually, the demand has got to come. When we look at what our 2023 grain out expectations are, you know, at least in the U.S., we're talking 93 million acres of corn, almost 50 million acres of wheat. That's a big demand period for fertilizer. Same thing in Canada, same thing around the world. There's a lot of demand coming at us. We just have to bridge this next 30 days.
The big concern right now is, can grain prices stay at this level to, you know, handle the input prices? And it looks like it's going down for some products, but not for others. You mentioned UAN is one. Why would that be?
When you look at UAN and anhydrous, especially across North America, there is a limited number of producers, a limited number of manufacturers. And because of that lack of competition, those numbers are able to hold higher. It's not anything where these outfits are working together to keep the price high. It's just fewer parties means fewer opportunities for somebody to just say, I'm going to cut my price significantly and I'm going to go sell something. When you look at urea, when you look at phosphate, you know, these are markets that are produced all around the world. Tons and tons of opportunity for somebody to just step up and say, you know what, I don't like the market as it is. I'm going to sell lower and get in front of it, and that makes somebody else mad, and they drop their price. Fewer competitors, fewer producers means prices get a little stickier.
This summer you were saying it's going to be hard to predict things in the future. Has that volatility eased up a bit, or is it even getting more volatile?
It's getting more volatile. I can tell you the phosphate and potash, to a certain extent, we saw some of this coming. Urea, did not see it to this extent. This has been a little bit of a shock. I thought it was going to be a while before we started to see prices where they're at today. And unfortunately, when we look at the long-term outlook, especially for nitrogen, now through 2025, this is something we talked about today in the presentation, you know, it takes a long time to build a new world-class facility. So we know what's going to be built between now and 2025. And we have a general idea of global demand between now and that same period. Global demand for nitrogen grows faster than global production does. So that means there gets to be less and less extra inventories out there. So if we have a situation where North American production goes down, European production goes down, China stops exports, Russia gets blocked from the world market, these events, while they would already be a major factor, as excess supplies get smaller and smaller and smaller, we have less that we can go call on, these events cause even more volatility and more of a knee-jerk reaction for the marketplace.
Anything else that you covered in your presentation that we should know about?
You know, a lot of the same things we talked about this summer. A lot of farmers continue to come to us and ask, what can I do to alleviate some of the risks I'm seeing out there? And unfortunately, we're still working on trying to get fertilizer paper going. You've got grain options, things like that. We continue to be a proponent. If you buy inputs, sell outputs. If you sell outputs, buy inputs. That is our best mechanism to lock in that profit if the opportunity exists.